By any measure, these are strange times we're living in.
All over the world, there is a lack of faith in things which we used to cherish.
The unmistakable voice of former President Jimmy Carter there. The more time elapses from his presidency, Carter says, the more he's interested in exploring the spiritual side of life. That's why he's written a new book, his 32nd book. It's called Faith, A Journey for All. In it, Carter explores what he sees as an erosion of faith all around him.
You know, faith in democracy, faith in freedom, faith in God, faith in ourselves, faith in our neighbors. You know, faith in other people, faith in the future. And so I thought it was time for me to express as best I could the various aspects of faith and explain how faith, particularly on a religious basis, is unchanged and that we can all cherish it and derive a great deal of solace and help and, I think, strength from retaining our faith.
You've been described as a progressive evangelical. Has President Trump's popularity among evangelicals surprised you?
Well, his sustained popularity among evangelicals has. I think some of that popularity or trust has been shaken lately by the allegations about extramarital affairs and things of that kind. But I think every evangelical is searching for a proper relationship with God and with people around us. And I believe that we'll see, perhaps in the election in 2018, some loss of that political confidence.
You also write in your book about the increase in Islamophobia in our country. And in the past few weeks, many Muslim Americans have spoken out to say they're worried that President Trump's choice for National Security Advisor John Bolton is affiliated with anti-Muslim hate groups. And they're worried that Trump's pick to lead the State Department, Mike Pompeo, that he sees the fight against terrorism as a sort of holy war. Are these men's beliefs, their attitudes about Islam, cause for concern?
Well, they'll cause me concern, but, you know, I don't know about their other acquaintances. I don't know most of the men, of course. But obviously, I believe we need to look with love, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, not only on our own neighbors and friends and those who love us back and how lovable, but even to those from whom we might be estranged or even our enemies or those who hurt us. So the overwhelming concept of love is the one thing that I put in the book, finally in the final pages of it, that even transcends the importance of faith itself.
You know, just on the main news of today, President Trump is threatening some sort of attack on Syria after its alleged chemical attack on civilians. You've been in the hot seat before where you have to weigh a response to aggression. What occurs to you today?
Well, I personally was able, luckily, to maintain our country at peace for 4 years when I served as president. And to promote other human rights as well. I think that living in peace is one of the basic human rights. So I think whenever we go to a war against other people, particularly when it doesn't meet the basic standards of a just war, which has been inherited down ever since the time of ancient times, I think we depart from our basic principles of religion. So my hope is that we can escape from the present entanglements that the United States maintains from the urge to go to war and to go to combat. This could possibly lead, in some cases, including our relationships with Russia and with North Korea, to the use of nuclear weapons, which would be a devastating thing to happen maybe to every living thing on Earth. So I had to face this when I was president, and I prayed more when I was president than I did any other time in my life, that I could maintain peace and the other basic human rights.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright says we are closer to fascism than ever. What do you think about that? Do you agree with her?
Well, I believe that the United States has been able, because of our basic character as a nation and as a people, to overcome great handicaps and challenges in the past. You know, slavery and the Civil War and the right of women to vote equally with men and the end of racial segregation, which persisted for almost 100 years. So I think in the past we have proven as a country that we can overcome any major challenge that presents itself. So I have confidence or faith in the future of America.
What is your take, though, on the rise of nationalism and populism, not just in the U.S., but around the world? I mean, is this era anything but normal?
I think it probably is a greater challenge because we lose faith in the basic things that I mentioned earlier. We've lost faith in freedom. We've lost faith in the value of telling the truth. We've lost faith in personal integrity. We've lost faith in some of the principles that have made us a successful democracy. And the same thing happened in other countries. The Carter Center has conducted or monitored 107 different challenged or difficult elections, trying to bring peace and freedom to people and give them a right to choose their own leaders. So I think that down through history, I read a lot of history books, we have seen major challenges to the principles that we should hold dear. And I believe that we have the resilience and the almost instant communications that where we get to know each other better in these days. I think we have the capabilities within ourselves and in relationship with others to overcome these challenges.
I would love to know where you get the optimism from, because people I know in the news business who are following this every day, some people are freaking out. Is it your faith that gives you this optimism?
I get it basically from my religious faith. So I think the ultimate fate of human beings is going to be favorable. We just have to have confidence in ourselves, confidence in others, or faith in one another, and be resilient and forceful and let each one of us individually do what we know is right and fair and that are principles that have guided us and guided all the great religions.
So the office of the presidency itself, people who know the White House, are kind of shocked by all the firings and departures and the reports of chaos. I mean, we hear the presidency changes a person. How did it change you? And do you think the office might ultimately have the same impact on President Trump?
Well, it made me feel more responsible and more responsibility on myself. And it made me be much more aware of the needs of not only a few other people in my own circle of personal acquaintances, but I had 3 million people, for instance, working for me when I was president of the United States, who were amenable to my decisions. So I had a much greater feeling of need for guidance and a need for clinging to my basic faith in myself and other people and in the future of humankind, as well as democracy and freedom. So that's what sustained me, and I hope it will be a sustaining factor in the life of the President of the United States and future presidents as well.
President Carter, thank you very much for this interview.
Thank you, Marco.